get ourselves rooted out. Turn to Hebrews 3rd chapter, 7th verse. The Lord said, could you not tarry 1 hour? We're going to learn how we can tarry with the Lord for 1 hour. Now, I know I'm talking to a praying people. I know I am. If I were not, there would not be one brick standing upon another here at this place. Now, I know I'm talking to a praying people, but this is a deeper way.
Yes, yes. Ooh.
Like the man said about Jesus, when he went into heaven, he has a more excellent way. Have you ever desired in your heart to just really, really pray?
Yeah.
And just, I have for years, and I find myself repeating because I wanted to stay in the presence of God. And I knew he said, use not vain repetition, but I wanted to stay with him. And I didn't have the words. We're going to learn this week a few more words we can use and a few more ways we can do to get closer to God and to spend time with him.
Yeah.
Hebrews 3 and 7 we want to use as a text. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Our Father, you know these precious people by their first name much better than I do. And your love is extended to every one of them. We ask you now to bless us as we're gathered here together. Anoint this message as you would have it done. Let it so be. Anoint the ears of our people that they might be able to hear, that it might go into hearts and change lives. We are thankful and grateful for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now we know by history that yesterday people heard God's voice, didn't they?
Yeah, amen.
And we know that that's real good to know that God spoke to our ancestors. And our kin folks who lived yesterday or long years ago, it's real good to know that. But the best thing to know is to know that we can hear his voice today.
Amen.
And we're going to hear his voice, aren't we?
Yeah. Amen.
This is today. God's getting his church ready to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's gathering us all together so that we might be able to worship him. He is blessing his church and he is building his church. I'm not talking about the organization. I'm talking about the organism. That one, you know, this blood bought. Born into the church. That's the church we're speaking of tonight. And he's getting his church ready. This is a time of shaking. We don't want to be shook out, do we? We can. We can be shaken out. If we're not careful, we're going to be shaken out. Because the world is shaking all over. And the Lord said, once again, I will shake the world. Already been shaken once, and this is the second shaking, and this is a time when everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But we want to put our feet on the rock, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Today, if you will, hear the Holy Ghost, he's speaking a word to the church. You know what that word is? It's the same one recorded in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you have a pencil and paper, you won't take down these scriptures. It'll be perfectly all right. If my people, he's talking, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven.
Amen.
Will forgive their sins and heal their land. Oh, if our land ever needed healing, it's ours.
Hallelujah.
It's still the best land in the world, but oh God, we can see and we know that it needs healing.
Yeah.
Great sores in our land today. But from now on, from this time forward, it's going to be, the bottom line is, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. A spirit-filled be ready to go when he comes. He's calling us as a church to pray. He's calling us to pray. You say, well, I've prayed all my life. Well, I haven't, but I have prayed for a few years. Oh, my. Do you sense the Holy Ghost here with us, drawing us to pray? We sense in our spirit that he wants to hear from his church. He wants to hear from the Lucoma church. He wants us to call on his name. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. It's our job to call and it's his job to answer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at Jesus when we begin to talk about prayer. We want to see about Jesus and prayer and the church, and we look in Matthew 21:12-16. I don't know if you'll be able to turn to all of them, but we'll try a few. This is for the church that wants to learn to pray a better way, a more excellent way. In Matthew 20:12-16, it's some tremendous truth here. Oh my.
Yeah.
There's some, and I want you to notice the progression of these verses. Will this come off? You know how I am, I get excited.
Right, get excited.
Well, I start talking about God and his work, I get excited.
Amen.
All right. Let's look first in verse 12. Verse 12, Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought. Somebody said, aha, I told you church wasn't supposed to sell nothing. Go on. There's a place. There was a place in the temple that was supposed to was set aside to buy and sell. I didn't know that either till the Lord allowed me to go to the Holy Land, so-called. And then I saw there it was. And I knew there must be another meaning to it there then than the one we had been taught, and the one that had been shoved down our throat, and the one that had been preached to us so much. Jesus cast these people out not because they were buying and selling, but because they were cheating the people.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he cast them out. And he said, I'm going to clean this temple out. This is going to be a temple of purity, if you please. He cleaned up the temple of God by casting out the thieves and the robbers. That was in verse 12. And then he said, he made a pronouncement. My house shall be called a house of prayer. God's house will be called a house of prayer. Everybody in town said, that's God's house down there. Them people down there pray. You can hear them when you go by the road. And when you go by their house, you can hear some of them praying all the time. My God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And ye are the temple of God. Everybody that believes that, lay your hand on your heart and say, I'm the temple of God.
Hallelujah.
It changes your mind about some things, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It makes you feel a little more careful than you ever were before. Or does me, and I expect it does most folks. We are, God's house is a house of prayer. It's not a place to come to see who can dress the best. It's not a place to come to see our marriage. It is not a social club, but God's house is a house of prayer. First, Jesus cleansed it and said it's a house of purity. Then he said it's a house of prayer. And after this, when he cleaned it up and began to pray, the power came. You see, In the next verse, verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them.
Yes, he did.
Woo! Well, that was Jesus, somebody says, and everybody, he healed everybody.
Yeah.
I point you to the town of Nazareth. He did not many mighty works because of doubt and unbelief. I don't feel a doubt here tonight.
No, sir.
I don't feel any unbelief in any place.
Praise
if
God.
There is, we say, Lord, take away now. All right. And came the house of power. Then the children saw. The children were in the temple too, you see. And when they saw the mighty works that Christ was doing, they began to praise him. And then the Pharisees came by. They're the same, in a way, they're like God. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Always their mouth is drawn. Always they've got a pointing finger.
Oh, yeah.
Always they can find something wrong with you.
Come
it's
on.
Nothing but your head sitting on your shoulder.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
And there they are. And they said to him, don't you hear what they're saying? They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and the Son of David was Messiah.
Yeah.
And they knew it.
Yeah.
And they said, don't you hear what they're saying? He said, yeah. Have you never heard out of the mouth of babes and sucklings there shall come perfected praise? Woo! He knew how to set them down. They couldn't say another word because it was written in their sacred writings.
Right, yeah.
And he put it to them. Oh, thank God. Now, this is the same progression that needs to take place in every temple of God, every church, every body. We are the temple of God.
Right.
Yeah, all right. And we are the habitation of God according to Ephesians 2 and 20.
Right.
We are the habitation of God. A habitation is a place where you live. Oh,
amen.
If God's going to live in me, then I'm going to be careful where I take him. I'm going to be careful how I talk to him.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Well, now we are at a turning point. If we will allow the prayer to become our first emphasis, if we will allow this, you see, we need to set our priorities. We need to see what comes first. Does God come first? Or does our family? Does ourselves? Does God come first? If he does, then let's make prayer our primary emphasis in God.
Amen.
Oh, praise God.
Come on, come on, come on.
You see, that divine progression that came will also happen to us. We will be pure. The Holy Spirit brings it. There will be a ministry of prayer. We will see the effects of the prayer in his power, and we will hear the perfected praise
yeah,
in
yeah.
his temple. Can you give the Lord a hand? Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we want to look at Jesus, and somebody said, did Jesus pray? He sure did. And honey, if Jesus had to pray, what about me? What about me? At the beginning of his ministry, in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Went off by himself and prayed. In the middle of his ministry, after he had just miraculously fed 5,000 with two loaves and how many fishes? Five fishes?
Yeah.
Miraculously fed them. Well, he was on top. Well, he was really going.
Yeah.
How come he had to stop and go off somewhere to pray? Oh, he was emptied out, honey.
Uh-huh.
He had done all he could do. He had given out to the people until he was empty and he had to go back and get filled again.
Right.
Amen. Supply the needs of the people. Have you ever felt like you have just counseled, prayed, helped, preached, prayed until there was nothing left there? That's the way he was. And if he went back to be refilled, we need to go back and get refilled every time. Well, now when at the end of his earthly ministry, Luke says it was his habit to go out and pray. And even on the cross, we see Christ praying, Father, forgive them. You remember? And as he died, he said, it is finished. He meant, Father, the plan of salvation is finished. That plan we made for the redemption of mankind now has been paid for. It's done. And that's finished. But Jesus' prayer ministry was not finished. He left this earth for glory, but... Listen, Hebrews 7:25 tells us Jesus' ministry in heaven today is intercession. Listen what it says. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to intercede.
Hallelujah.
How does it make you feel? The thing Jesus might have mentioned your name to the Father today. You know that trouble you're in? That heartache that comes so hard? Jesus sees it.
Yes,
he might have spoke your name to the Father today. Today, while it's called today. Oh, little children. We see that he was a prayer warrior. And Jesus did mighty things, but... He prayed, and in between prayer meetings, he went out to do the great works of miracles. Somebody said, where is the Lord God of Elijah, and why do we not have miracles like we used to have? You see, the miracles are done between the prayer meetings.
That's right.
Not before, not at, but in between. And every time he'd go off and pray and he'd come back and the disciples would see that power. They got to thinking like there's some connection there. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them the model prayer, which is known as the Lord's Prayer, but it was really the disciples' prayer. If you ask me where can I find Jesus, I will tell you, you can find him at the praying place. You can find him at the praying place. Hallelujah. I know we have members who never pray unless the pastor calls on them to lead in prayer. It ought not so to be, but this is the way it is. I know we have people who never crack the Bible unless somebody tells them to read aloud. And that's the reason you're called on. I'm not looking at anybody. And I've not heard of them. But if we want to be like Jesus, we'll be developing our prayer life.
That's right.
We'll be developing our spirits and the spirits of prayer. We will be, I'm going to say a dirty word right here in the pulpit. We will be disciplining ourselves to the life of prayer.
Amen.
Now, discipline has come to mean a dirty word.
Yeah.
Discipline means I'll do it. I've got it to do it. I'm going to do it if it kills me. But when nobody else is pushing you and you discipline yourself, how many of you believe that you are a disciple of Christ? Lift up your hand. That's the biggest part of you. The root word of disciple is discipline. To order our lives the way they should go. All right. So we're going to be a disciple of Jesus. And he has given us the Holy Ghost to shout and enjoy that too, but He's given us the Holy Ghost to enable us. To enable us.
Yeah.
Romans 8:26-27. And likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searched the hearts. Who's he? Knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank God somebody's pleading my cause before the throne.
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God I have an advocate with the Father. First of all, the Holy Ghost bursts within us a desire to pray. You see, this can't be worked up in the flesh. We've got to want to pray before we can pray.
That's the truth.
That's right.
And there are times, Brother Randy, there's times when I really want to pray, but I'm so numb from the licks I've got and the kicks and the backbitings. Till I can't say anything, just groan. But the Holy Ghost groans to us. And he makes intercession. And after a while, that load is lifted off. And then as we obey the Holy Ghost, that desire matures within us and moves into a place of discipline.
Amen.
And we every day, somebody said, I sure did have to pray this week. I had to pray. How come you had to pray so hard? Oh, I tell you, the devil was after me. It ought not to be that way.
No,
I want to pray before the devil gets after us. You see, we know Jesus. And he is the boss. We know somebody with influence. And if we hang around with that one that's got influence, the devil don't like to hang around with us. And we won't be bothered with him
Praise
so bad.
God.
All right, that's right.
Glory to our God. Now, a disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus.
That's right.
When we get to where we can tarry with the Lord 1 hour.
Oh, God.
There was a time in Jesus' ministry when it was crucial. He was having a crucial time. He needed a friend as bad as anybody in this world ever needed a friend.
Yeah.
He knew that he had to go to the cross.
Yeah.
He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took them all with him.
Yeah.
They all followed him there. He went on a little further. And the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, followed him on a little way. He said, stay here. And he went on a little farther and began to pray. The man within him dreaded the pain that he knew as God that he would have to suffer. And he wanted that cup taken away from him, but he would not accept it unless it was the will of God. Oh, what an example. I don't see how we can do any less, do you? We want to see the power of God moving in our lives, then we have to seek him every day, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to get in line and get with him every day. Jesus needed a friend. He went away and prayed once. He came back, and there they were asleep. And by and large, this is the way the church is today. Jesus is praying, and the church is asleep. I'm not talking about becoming a church of God. I'm still talking about that living organism.
Right. Come on.
And I know that we have to have rest and sleep. I know that we do. But, we don't have to sleep all the time. We don't have to be careless all the time. We don't have to sit and watch the boob tube forever.
Come on.
We can knock it off for an hour.
Come on.
Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? When we get to the place where we can stay with him an hour today, we really owe him 2 hours and 40 minutes. But if we get to the place where we can stay with him an hour and talk with him and listen to him for an hour,
Jesus,
supernatural things will begin to happen in your life.
Yes.
And in your church. And you will see a difference everywhere. It will revolutionize your prayer life. It will revolutionize your whole life. It will turn you upside down, dig you up, and put you in a better place. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
I'm a better woman than I was before I found this. I'm a better Christian than I was before I began to dig into this. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, as we discipline ourselves, somebody said, I've not got an hour. Oh, yes, have. See, I'm standing up here, I can talk real sassy to you. Everybody's got an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
You might not have it all at one stretch. But while you're driving to work, turn off your radio and get hold of God. Amen?
Yeah. Come on.
We have no business reading the newspaper, listening to music, straightening out trouble, nothing. We've got no business whatsoever doing it till our praying gets done. We're not supposed to be doing nothing else.
Shake that so tree again. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Not supposed to go to parties.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
No, nothing. We're not supposed to play till the work's done.
Yeah, that's right.
We get our praying done, then we'll not want to do anything that's out of the will of God. Nobody has to tell us what to do and what not to do and which way. But we will know by the Spirit of God what we need to do when we've been talking with the Lord. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Now, discipline is a thing athletes do in this world and others also. But they have a method, and every day an athlete exercises. We have athletes on the brain lately because of the games that are being played all over the world. And that's all right. Paul said body to exercise is not worth much, but it's worth something. Well, you know that's what he's saying. But if we begin to pray, then it becomes a habit. And if it becomes a habit, then we can do it. You see, if when they begin to exercise every day, their muscles begin to tone up and they begin to get stronger and able to do. And as we exercise our prayer life, it begins to get stronger. And oh, it's like unto an athlete. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 27, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one wins the prize?
Huh? Yeah.
Woo! And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
All things.
Oh, God. I thought I could go overboard at homecoming when the table was spread.
Yeah.
If you strive for the mastery, you are temperate in all things. Well, I could preach right there an hour or two, but I won't. I've got to go on with this. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You see, these athletes are doing this to obtain a crown. They are, but that crown is corruptible. But we are seeking an incorruptible crown. And how can we fail to do more about this for our incorruptible crown than they do every day to gain one that will canker and rust and pass away?
Yeah.
Somebody lift your hands and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He said, I therefore run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We make our body obey Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, well, I thought when you got saved, that's all you need to do. But, well, you had, you know, that was good. Work on it. You have to work on it every day. Every day has to be worked on, or it won't do. All right. The Paul, like an athlete and the Christian runner, he emphasized the key elements of discipline and persistence. And this is essential if we're going to win this race, if we're going to run this race successful. Who wants to run the race successful?
Yeah,
oh, yes. I don't want to run and lose out at the last minute, do you? Why, Brother Phillips, I've been running for years, and I don't want to run all this long way and then lose out at the last minute. Oh, if I have to, I'll double up. If Satan messes with me, I'll start praying 2 hours a day. If he keeps on messing with me, I'll pray 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
If he keeps on telling me I'm too old to do any good, I'm going to get out and start preaching on these streets and under shade trees and in potted spare meetings.
Come on.
That's going to really leave me alone. He don't want me to tear loose sure enough. Now, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, most of you know that he has the biggest church in the world. It's in Seoul, Korea. And he likens this as demarcations on a jogging track. Now, we don't have jogging tracks around here, but up in the north and overseas where things are so crowded, they have places set aside. And they have a track you can jog or walk on. And they have a march set. And you walk so far and you come... they've got the quarter mile, a half mile, and a mile set, and you know just how far along you're going. And Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho prays this same prayer, and he likens it to jogging demarcations. Oh, these are the topics that are found in the model prayer that Jesus set forth. You see, in the first century, the scribes and the teachers, the rabbis, would put topics for their students and their followers, and then they would enlarge unto every topic. And in this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, so-called, there are 6 topics there. And in the context of that prayer is everything we need to win victory.
Yeah.
And everything we need to be full and free in the spirit in this present world. We don't have to say, Lord, hurry up, come on and take me out of this new old place. I just can't understand it no longer. But we can go on with victory in our soul, hallelujah, and overcome, provided we follow after this. Woo! Let's look at them for a minute. Demarcation 1 says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the first one. Here, we enter into God's presence with praise for the benefits and the promises provided in the new covenant and purchased for you by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if you want a springboard over into the Holy Ghost, you just get on the blood and use that blood as a springboard, and you can go right over into the Holy of Holies. For that blood was shed. Lift up your hand and say, that blood was shed for me. Oh, come on. I can hardly hear you.
That blood was shed for me.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here we enter into the presence of God with praise for all he's done.
Yes.
And in demarcation 2, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This begins the beginning of the second demarcation. And this is where we set our priorities. Now, we're going to be talking about every bit of this. Every bit of it later on this week. Some of you drew up. I'm not tonight. I promise, not tonight.
Come on.
I don't know if I could. When I was in Hawaii, I taught the first
And they said, oh, it took me an hour. And they said, oh, Sister Carver, can't you spare just one more hour for us today? What about this? The place was just packed, and they said, can't you just spare one more hour? They're so hungry. And here we sit, fed to bursting. Fed to bursting! If you want to be hungry for God and you never have been, quit eating so much. You know, if we'll fast a little bit, we'll get hungry for God.
Yeah, amen.
We will. And then, in demarcation 3, give us this day our daily bread. That tells us how to pray in our needs, to pray in our finances. Yeah. Who would like to be able to pray in your finances? Let me see your hand. If you'd like to be able to, well, what's the matter with the rest of you? You want to stay poor?
Yes, that's right.
Maybe we better try that again.
No,
you don't have to be poor to be a Christian. No. Isn't that wonderful? It's God's will that we prosper.
Why?
Did you know you are ordained by God to succeed? You are ordained to win. He says things like, you will be the head and not the tail. You will be the lender and not the borrower. You will be the top and not the bottom. You will be the
Hallelujah.
We don't have to be poor to be a Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
You wonder why I'm not a millionaire? Some of you here know I don't.
Hallelujah.
I've got all God can trust me with.
Come on.
And I told him, I don't want a whole lot.
No.
If it'll turn me away from him, I don't want it.
No.
I'd love to be rich. It wouldn't take me but about a week. I'll be back at the same place I was.
Yeah.
Because there's so many needs. So many needs. So many things I'd love to do. Well, we're going to talk about give us this day our daily bread. And this is where we appropriate God's provision for every day. Now, he will supply our need, but not our greed. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is where you set your will to have a right attitude toward everybody all the time. Would you like to get along with everybody all the time?
Yeah.
You don't have to be a bootlicker nor a two-faced somebody to do it.
Come on.
We'll learn how to do it.
Right.
Out of the Lord's Prayer, we'll learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this starts our fifth topic. Pray a hedge of protection around yourself. And your family.
Yeah.
And your possessions. Prepare yourself to be a victory. You know something? If you were set up where you would like to be tomorrow, you wouldn't know how to start it. But God's not like us. He doesn't get up and say, oh my, and wring his hands and say, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do? He knows.
Yes, he does.
And the Lord that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He knows what to do for every need and everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We prepare ourselves to be victorious over the devil.
Right.
Now, he's been blown up so high. I wish I could get some of you to believe in God like you believe in the devil.
Come on.
I do.
Hey, come on. Praise the Lord.
I've not just said this to you, honey. I've said this to several churches. If I can get people to believe in God the way they believe in the devil, we could take the place.
Yes.
Before you turn around, we take the place.
Amen.
We can be victorious over Satan. Woo! Who has more power than Satan?
God.
Who?
God.
Yes. Turn around to somebody and tell them God has more power than Satan. Come on, tell them. Glory to God. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And this marks the final one. We return to praise at the end of the prayer. Just like we started, we return. and we have made our run successful. We have the victory when we get through with this. In Matthew 6 and 9, Jesus said, after this manner pray ye. Who believes that Jesus knows what's the best way to pray? Somebody said, do it this way and do it that way and do it the other way. But Jesus said, after this manner
pray. Glory to God.
He knows more about it than anybody else. He said, do it this way. He said, say it like this. I was missing out a long time before I finally found that. Praise God. He listed the topics that we need to bathe daily in prayer. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Just bathe it real good every day in prayer. How in the world is that boy, that girl going to go on in sin if you bathe them good every day in prayer?
Yeah.
And the power of the Lord begins to move in their lives, and they see how wonderful it is and begin to feel conviction because they are in sin. How is that boy who's far away from home, how's he ever going to find God and come back? Unless we bathe him daily in prayer. Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He taught off of Mahatai. Hallelujah.
Some of you here may have children like I had. I had a boy, I didn't know where he was for 2 years. Sister Phillips, you know how that grieves a mother's heart. I didn't know where he was. I didn't know if he was hungry, thirsty, cold, hot. All I knew was every day I put him in the hands of God. Well, God had already promised me he was coming in. But every day.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes I apologize and I say, Lord, I know you told me he's coming in. But I'm getting kind of anxious. And forgive me if I just kind of remind you about that promise you made for my boy. That boy was baptized, Brother Randy, last Sunday. Baptized in Say, oh, praise God. I said, Mama, I'm going to start seeking a deeper walk with God because I know it's true.
Yeah.
Every day at 10 o'clock, I put those children before God. Now, you don't have to pick my hour. Pick it when it's convenient. 10 o'clock is very convenient for me.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's going to work or going to school, and I've got the house to myself. Just me and Jesus, and I can talk to him, and I can listen to him, and I can hear him.
Yeah.
And you can. You can. If we're going to be a pure channel through which the Holy Ghost can flow, it is absolutely necessary that we have a daily prayer life with God. I feel as though this is coming out of the very bottom of my shoes, the very bottoms of my feet, so to speak. But it's very necessary because, you see, according to James, only the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that man used, the way it's used in this sentence, means mankind. So, you know, I know ladies that won't turn their hand because it says man.
Come on.
And that's a grief to me. Oh, you know something? Prayer is not a useless something. If it's an empty and worthless trifle, Jesus sure did waste a lot of time. See, prayed. And now, you know, with bowed heads, 1 minute of silence, that's not prayer. Next time they tell you bow your head for 1 minute of silence, you tell them I said it. Tell them my name and said, she told me. That's not prayer. And it's not prayer. Oh God. You see, a consistent daily prayer life is absolutely necessary.
If we want to be a channel of the Holy Spirit, and who among us does not want to do something great for God? We might not preach to thousands. We might not even be able to win one soul. But if we stay where God can use us, somebody's going to hear it. Yeah. Somebody's going to want it. Somebody is going to be turned. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Never did think I was much of a preacher, but you know something? My grandchildren love to come here and go. Makes me feel like it's not too bad. They hear me home too, see. There's a lot of ground yet to be covered. There's a lot of ground to be won. Somebody says, well, what about these big TV preachers that are falling right and left? I can't answer for them. But I've got to answer for Hazel Carter. I've got to. So I have to do what the book says do, and do it the way the book says do. Oh, God. And Jeremiah said, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thy heart like water before the Lord. Oh, Shatomolihiyahava, Yekanehi, Tolomaha. I would say to the church, if you will have this, then you can ask me for anything, saith God. Jeremiah goes on to say, lift up your hands for the sake of your young children who are dying at the top of every street. We must stand for the children, if nothing else. Oh my God, Nehemiah urged the people in the rebuilding of the wall at Jerusalem and said, do not be afraid of the enemy. Earnestly remember the Lord and imprint Him on your minds. He is great and terrible, and take from Him the courage to fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Mister, if you want your wife to be a real good wife, pray the commandments of God down on her. She can't do it no other way but the way God would have it. Might not please you when you're through with it, but
come on.
She's not pleasing you no matter the way she is. Smile, I love you. And sister, if you want your husband to do real good, you see, he can't do no better than he's doing. God is seeking, looking for intercessors to stand before Him. You see, there was Moses stood in the gap. There was Abraham, David, Jeremiah, Daniel, Nehemiah, Paul, Jesus Himself, and countless believers down through the ages. Oh, and God looked down in this chapter of Ezekiel. He said, it grieved me. He said, I was looking for somebody that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And it grieved me that I could find no one. There was no man. And this means mankind. Means mankind. See, Satan don't want you to hear this. We love our little old babies, and when they laugh, it just draws our attention. We're so glad they're happy. Satan don't want you to hear this.
Because he needs you to stand in the gap. He needs me to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He said I couldn't find anybody that would stand there so I would not bring destruction on the land. You see, judgment has already called. Judgment's already here, church. Oh, God. But destruction is coming. You and I can change the course of history. Oh, Sister Carl, yes. If there's enough of us seeking God to keep destruction off this land, we can change the course of history. Yeah, if there's enough of us pleading with God and standing in the gap and making up the hedge, we can keep destruction off. Yeah. You hear me? We can change God's mind about the time of destruction that's coming on this world. Oh, God. He's looking for us, and we need to pour out our hearts like water before him, magnifying his wonderful name, and being empowered by the Holy Ghost to do his work. Brother Randy, come play me something good on the piano or whatever you can.